Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and I am joined today by Megan Moret.
Yes,
you got it right. And Megan, thank you for coming by today.
Yes.
And when you say I got it right, did I really get it right?
You really did.
Because you also say it, right. It is sort of Moret.
It is, but yeah. Everyone says Moret. Yeah.
But so, what do you say?
Moret.
So you say Moret.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say when you wake up in the morning? Do you say to yourself, Moret or Moret?
Moret.
Okay. Did you ever say Moret?
Maybe initially when I saw my husband's last name, I probably said in my mind, I said it like you did. You know, that's just
okay.
That I was taught to do an E.T.
and right.
A, you know. But soon I found out that it's Moret.
Okay. Very good.
Yes.
So, yeah, we've squared that away.
Yeah.
And I really do appreciate you coming here today. And we really do have a specific topic mm-hmm. that we're going to deal with, which is very serious and very important. And so we'll get to that, you know, very shortly. But there are so many interesting things in the world today, and you're okay, you know, talking about some
absolutely.
Of them. So I thought I'd hit on a couple of these.
Sure.
First let me ask, do you watch the Donald Trump saga minute by minute?
No, I don't watch it minute by minute, but I do like to check in and see what's going on. I especially with a lot of the court shenanigans going on, I have been dumbfounded by all of the indictments and just the criminalizing of his doings when there are so many people that have done worse or not been, prosecuted at all for the exact same things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So aside from, is sort of, where I come from in this, I'm, strongly anti-Trump, but I guess my question is, because really the purpose of any of this is not to, try to convince somebody to be on the other side. That's not the issue. But actually, one of the questions I'm going to hold back on because it relates a little bit to the real topic that we've got today.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to hold off on that one.
Okay.
But when you say that you think that, he's being maybe mistreated in the courts, mm-hmm. which is his assertion. Once he gets into a courtroom,
mm-hmm.
which he's desperately trying to avoid, in fact, let me ask you that. Do you think that his desperation in trying to avoid this, is that just natural trying to protect himself? Or do you think that he fears that they're going to find out that he did it?
Well, I think that a normal response, if you or I were to be slammed with these charges, I think that naturally there would be some desperation to try to get your name cleared or to try to show the facts that are true. And it's not just his assertion isn't the way that I see it. I think it would be so interesting if, let's say, the Hunter Biden case or the Donald Trump case or just any of these cases that have been so recently highlighted in the news, if we didn't know their names or if we didn't see the D or the R behind their name, I often wonder how people would, where they would end up, on what side. Would they end up on the same side as, let's say, Letitia James, or would they end up on the side of Donald Trump? What side would they end up on? Taking the name out and which political party they stand for, because it's obvious that this is definitely a political game. And so I think that especially when you have over 90, 90 things that they're trying to criminalize you for. Yeah. I mean, the desperation is, and it's got to be exhausting. It's left and right. And there are many people that have done the exact same things. It has been out in the open and nothing's happened. So to me, it just looks if we're just going to talk about just Trump, there's a lot of people on the left, too, that I'm sure have had things gone against them. And it's been political warfare as well. But a lot of these things that he's being accused of, I think it's gone too far. And I think that the money in it, what they're asking him to pay and put up for a lot of it, I think that in itself is criminal.
Well, so let's try a couple of these things, because you're talking about the civil cases.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about them for a second. On the side of the fraud allegations, which are no longer allegations. I mean, he's been found to have defrauded the state of New York. Do you think that he, given the fact that he's gone through the court system and they found that he defrauded the state of New York, do you think that he defrauded the state of New York?
Well, any person that does business in the state of New York, especially when you start getting into that, you know, level of real estate, of monies, if you will, they've all broken the law. Every single one of them. And I think it's a little bit different, too, when, you know, you look at someone like Bernie Madoff. You look at that case. There were victims left.
Serious.
Right. It was awful.
Yep.
In this case, did he lie? Did he overestimate the value of his real estate? Absolutely. A smart businessman, and most businessmen or women, would do the same thing.
Yeah. So I understand taking that position. Here's one thing that I'd point out. And that is, I have a friend, I won't mention the name. He got in trouble years ago for something that he did, which he felt was something that a lot of people do. And he made the comment that he was caught speeding on the highway, like 75 miles an hour, but that there were other cars who were passing him on the highway going 85.
Right.
And he was the one that they caught. And he thought that that was really unfair. And that statement went out publicly. He was an important person. And, you know, a lot of people look back at him and said, wait a second. Because you got caught doing something wrong. And no one, and other people didn't get caught for the same thing, doesn't mean that it's okay to break the law. What do you think?
Well, a couple things. If he were driving down the road and he was one of, let's say, hundreds of cars in a short, let's say in a mile.
Yep.
And if he was randomly picked, you know, because there were several cars going the same speed.
Yep.
And if he was randomly picked for no reason, except for that's just what the speedometer of the officer, you know, just got him.
Right.
That's one thing. But it'd be another thing if he was flying flags from his car that said, I'm an American, I'm a Republican or a Democrat, whatever the political party was, and I'm getting ready to run this country. So I think that there's a few red flags, if you will, that really honed in on Donald Trump. I don't think that they were just going after him because he was one of the many businessmen in New York and they just randomly picked him. I don't think it works like that. Just like I don't think that the IRS just randomly picks people to go into their businesses. I think it's very much deliberate. And you're right. If someone does break the law, then, you know, you need to do whatever you need to do to reconcile. However, when someone like Letitia James comes in and goes, because she's got a personal vendetta against him, the monies that, and you know, the bond and all of these things, it's crazy. It's the amount of money, it's so personal, and it should not be that. You don't have someone that's not a flight risk at all. I mean, he's the most, you know, notorious and famous person in America right now, next to Joe Biden, and then slam him with that kind of money just to get out, you know, just to make bond. It's there's just
well,
so
that,
many.
That is actually the bond that a person in that situation would have to put up. And notice he didn't have to put up more than somebody else would. He had to put up the amount that anybody who was found to be liable would have to put up mm-hmm. in order to appeal. Here's, so that's just...
Yeah, well, I don't necessarily agree with that.
Oh, no, but that is... No. I mean, we could disagree on a lot of things.
So what they're doing is they're taking it relative to how much money he has or that he's made.
No. They it's based on the amount that you owe because of the civil judgment. So based on the civil judgment, that is how much you have to put up in order to appeal. That's the law.
Okay, and the civil judgments are even more... obscene. The civil judgments they're coming up with, but they are establishing it. These judges and attorney generals, they're all making. There's not a textbook that says, okay, check mark $10 million if this guy lied to this bank. Okay?
Oh, no. That's true.
Yes.
No. So, but all I'm saying is if you're found to have to pay $500 million, then you have to put up a bond of $500 million plus the amount. I mean, that's the number.
Okay, so the findings are criminal too. So you have all of these people. It's the highest bond that's ever been posted, okay, for someone, which he's a guy that's walking around. They say that he has victims. They say that he went after, Carol, E. Jean Carol, in a department store, which that we could talk about that a whole nother day.
Well, that's the one I want to talk about when we talk about your subject. But
yeah,
okay.
So my issue with this is there are so many people that are let out on bail we're talking pennies compared to this, that have done so much worse, have a way higher flight risk, have a risk just on the society itself. There are people that, left and right, and a lot of these, we'll use the Soros-backed cities. There is a social justice movement that has been started and is ongoing for the last several years. And to go in and try to rehabilitate, if you will, many of these criminals. So the criminals that should have the bond that Trump had are getting out on, $10,000, $50,000, $500,000 being on the high side. These are people that have either murdered, raped, child pedophiles.
And you're right.
And so
sometimes that's true.
It is. And so I have a really hard time when it's been made public that you have a personal vendetta against someone. And you are going to go against them in any way, shape, or form and have publicly said, I'm going to take him down. Then you slam him with this kind of amount of money just to try to cripple him when there are so many bigger fish to fry.
Yeah. By the way, I think you are 100% correct that this has been deliberate. Mm-hmm. I think the system, which includes, Letitia James and, others... other prosecutors, mm-hmm. I think that they have deliberately brought these cases. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think this is an accident. I don't think this is just random.
No.
I think it's deliberate. Mm-hmm. But the problem is why? And where you think it's personal, you think that they just don't like them, okay? I'm going to suggest to you, and I have to say, I've been saying this, what I'm about to tell you, I've been saying it on television and radio for, 10 years, mm-hmm. as long as he's been on the scene here as a potential candidate. And that is that it's sort of like Al Capone. Al Capone was somebody who murdered people all the time and got away with it. Mm-hmm. And routinely. He did all sorts of things, just terrible things. And nobody could ever get him. But the prosecutors deliberately looked for something that they could get him on so that they could put him away.
Sure.
And after many decades, they finally got him on tax evasion. Mm-hmm. And believe me, what he did in terms of tax evasion was not the worst thing that ever happened on the planet, but it was the only thing that they could get Al Capone on. Mm-hmm. So that was it, and that was deliberate. So, you know, I don't think that they were personally trying to get Al Capone just because they thought, hey, let's get this guy.
Yeah.
No, he did things.
Right.
Yeah, he did things. And there are people who have things that Donald Trump has done which aren't even political. Mm-hmm. And so they are out to get him because he has avoided the law and avoided accountability for 40 years. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it is deliberate. You're right. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe the reason for why is more in question, at least between me and you. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I appreciate that context and that comparison. I think that the same could go for, we'll just say Joe Biden, since these two look as though right now they're going to be running against each other. I know for sure if they were to do the same due diligence and were to go back into Joe Biden over the last 40 years, just being a part of Washington, D.C. in general, there would be so many things that they would uncover if they had the same passion to go after him the same way that they're going after Trump. There are a lot of people that don't want Biden in. There's a lot of people that don't want Trump in. But you don't have any of these people going after Biden to try and go through the closets and pull all of his skeletons out.
Yeah. In a way, what you're saying, I do agree with. Mm-hmm. And let me show you the way. And I'm not going to mention the political figure's name, but a very, very prominent political person in St. Louis for the last 50 years started off at the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. And then over time, worked his way up by winning elections from one to another position, mm-hmm. all the way up to a very high level in national politics. And this guy never earned more than, let's say, $100,000 a year, mm-hmm. because, you know, on the Board of Aldermen, he made practically nothing.
Right.
And you know, if you're in Congress today, you're only making 180. Mm-hmm. You don't become a multimillionaire on 180. Mm-hmm. This guy is a multimillionaire and a Democrat. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter because they all are doing it, as I think you've said. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my point is that you're right, that there are things happening in politics that are really obscene. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think
you're right.
Yeah,
it is obscene.
It is. It is. And so I agree with you from that standpoint. The problem is, let me give you an example. The Central Park Five. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Central Park Five were found. I mean, originally they thought they did it. Mm-hmm. But eventually they found out that they did not do it.
Right.
I mean, do you agree they didn't do it?
It was proven after the fact.
It was proven they didn't do it.
Right.
After it was proven that they didn't do it, Donald Trump took out ads and spoke out publicly demanding that they be executed. A lot of people can't forget that. Mm-hmm. Do you understand why they can't?
I do. Yeah. And we could, especially at the two gentlemen that we're talking about, they're both in their, you know, well, Trump is approaching 80, Biden's into his 80s. So they've been around a long time. They've got a long history. They've got a long past. And we could say the same as far as being a millionaire about Joe Biden.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So,
because what's Joe Biden ever done?
Right.
He's never been in business?
No.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a lot of business going on that's never been made public.
I don't know what he's done, mm-hmm. okay? And I don't think anybody does. And as to whether anybody figures it out, maybe never.
Well, I think a lot of people do know. I think that there's people that are protecting him to protect themselves. I think that, I mean, we all know how politics work. It's a lie for a lie. And so I think that there are a lot of people that know. I just think that all of our institutions are being weaponized against one person. Otherwise, if they were going, if it was going to be a an even playing field, they would do the same. If they, if you've got two people that are up to go, and if you're trying to prove that someone is so bad and has done so many things wrong and has committed crime after crime, whether it's tax evasion, tax inflation, tax deflation, whatever you want to call it. So we've got another public figure that's also wanting to run our country. Why aren't we doing the same?
Yeah. Well, actually, they are. They are.
It depends on who you're asking.
Well, no, but no, I'm saying that the Congress is attempting right now to impeach Joe Biden.
We've been doing that, yeah. Just and, like we've been going and, after Hunter Biden.
But I guess my question is, why can't they find anything?
Well, it depends on who you ask.
Well, the Republicans who are actually impeaching him can't find anything and say they can't.
Well, so here's a good comparison that I like to think about. So you have the FBI goes in and they go in and they break into Mar-a-Lago. They find documents, right?
Yep.
We all know that.
Yep.
Well, the big bad guy is stealing documents. He's a terrible, terrible man stealing documents. The same federal government group goes in, I want to say it was 2 weeks later. And it was close. And you know what was funny is I think if Joe Biden is so on top of his game and he's so for doing the right thing for the United States of America, why didn't he turn his documents in before they raided Mar-a-Lago?
Okay, but let's assume that Joe Biden isn't that good of a guy. Really, let's say he's not that good.
Uh-huh.
But one thing he didn't do that Donald Trump did is he didn't lie to the FBI.
Well, of course he's not going to, because guess what? The cage has been rattled. So FBI goes in to Donald Trump. I don't agree with that at all. Because
do you know who Jeff Smith is?
No.
Okay. And Vic and I had this conversation. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's a very similar conversation to what we're having right now on the air, you know, when he came into the show. And Jeff Smith was a professor at Washington University, and he was going to run for a higher – he ran for an office. He won. And then he was going to run for a higher office, and he was passing out different literature. And some of what he was passing out for this next election was not – it wasn't exactly kosher. Mm-hmm. It wasn't exactly illegal, but it wasn't maybe something that anybody wanted to be caught doing.
Sure.
And so when the FBI asked him, he lied about nothing. It was nothing. He didn't even need to lie. Mm-hmm. Okay. Jeff Smith spent a year in jail. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because one thing in the United States – that you absolutely cannot do ever, no matter what your excuse is, you can't lie to the FBI. Mm-hmm. Because if you do, you go to jail. Even if you're Jeff Smith at the bottom of the rung or you're Donald Trump at the top, wherever you are, if you lie to the FBI or, you know, if you lie, for example, in a courtroom, today, Alan Weisselberg, you know him?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Alan Weisselberg was the chief financial officer for Donald Trump's company. And he just went back to jail again for perjury. Mm-hmm. He lied. He admitted he lied. And he said, okay, I'm going to jail. And he's back in jail for five more months. So, I mean, if you lie in a courtroom or you lie to the FBI, you are, I mean, I know it doesn't seem like the biggest thing in the world, but you're assaulting our criminal justice system.
I agree with that. Yeah, okay. 100%.
Okay.
However, I remember specifically the day sitting there not too long after, it was 10 to 14 days after Trump, they went in and did the Mar-a-Lago. And Biden comes out and goes, oh my gosh, look at, I ran across some documents of the same nature in my garage next to the dog crate, next to the broken lamp, next to the Corvette. But I'm the good guy. So I'm going to watch me do the right thing. Joe, we don't care that you're saying like, hey, you know, look at me, I'm doing the right thing. The fact of the matter is you've got documents in your personal space. Same thing. I laughed when I saw that. I thought, oh, of course he's going to come out and do this, because he knows that he can't, if he doesn't come clean and they were to do the same thing, which I know that they weren't going to. I just have that feeling that the FBI was not going to go and raid him next. But if it were to happen, look what I did. I came clean like a child. Like, yeah. I felt like he was this little child coming to his mom. His brother got caught doing something. He did the exact same thing, the exact same crime, but came forward and goes, look, oh my gosh, look, I'm the honest one. I'm just telling you about my crime.
Yeah. Well, let's say that he was going to lie,
mm-hmm.
but he realized that Donald lied, so he decided not to lie.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever reason it is. If you lie to the FBI, you got problems. And if you don't lie, well, then you're in better shape. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
He's not my choice. If I had to choose somebody to be president, I would choose John, Robert, or Ted Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all dead.
Yeah.
So, you know, the bottom line is, Or George McGovern, you know. So obviously, you know, I'm a lefty, so that's where I am. But I'm just saying, Joe Biden, not the top of my list, you know. So there are other issues for a lot of us that are on the side that I am. There are a lot of issues that have nothing to do with Joe Biden, because we're not sitting here saying, oh, please, you know, Joe Biden's our savior. We only want Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for years, while all this mess was going on, you know, because I was for Hillary,
mm-hmm.
but for years after that, I mean, I always said that I'd vote for a ham sandwich, you know, that old story, before I would vote for Donald Trump. And for me, Joe Biden is a ham sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
well, I would like to see our justice system utilized fairly. That's, I'm not even comparing the people in a lot of these scenarios. It's our justice system is being misused, mishandled in so many ways. So if they're just going to simply say, we're just going to go after people that lie, cheat, or steal, or break the law, then go after people that lie, cheat, steal, and break the law. It's just so blatantly and unfairly obvious what they're trying to do. And that's what I mean. So if you're going to compare these two. I mean, Donald Trump has been, because of his earnings and his fortune, he's been in court left and right. I mean, if you saw his 80s, the dockets from court, people going after him for little things, medium-sized things, big things, he's used to going to court. People go after him all the time. Everybody wants to get something from him. If he crosses his eyes, they're going to go after him because he's got money.
And of course, he does... similar things. He sues everybody in sight.
Yeah.
And for example, this latest deal that he did with the it's called an SPAC, which is how he brought his company public. He is suing his partners in the company.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are saying, well, gee, what a surprise. He sues everybody.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can't say that I wouldn't do the same thing if I were in his position and had his money. How else can you protect yourself? There are so many rats out there that will come for you. I mean, there's rats out there that will come for you if you don't have money, but especially they'll come in swarms for you if you have that kind of money. That's a fact. And I just think that they've had the opportunity. If they were so caught up in his, all of this doing New York City wrong, and his business dealings and his banks and his taxes and all that. Well, why now? If it was so bad and it was so criminal, why now?
No, and I'm, that's why I said to
mm-hmm.
you, I don't think that it's about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about the things that he has done that people feel morally indignant about that go way back, including blocking black people from going into his apartment buildings 40 years ago with his father, which, you know, he was found to have done and had to pay, defrauding, you know, people with, you know, no money, that you know, University of Trump, which, you know.
Yeah. Well, and, and it's similar to Joe Biden saying that he graduated from all these different places has.
Joe just lied.
Yeah.
but he didn't defraud people. Now, maybe he would have.
I mean, that depends on who you ask. Yeah. I think it's relative. I mean, if I would have had emotion and time invested in Joe Biden at the time when he was telling everyone in Congress that there's no way that he would ever have an open border, or he's got all of these different credentials behind him, I would have felt frauded, most definitely.
Okay, so I'll tell you what, that's a good place to stop, because I want to do the border thing a little bit too.
Yeah.
Because it definitely relates to your topic, which we're going to do here immediately. But first, we're going to sell a few things, and then we're going to come back and do your topic, which I love. I love. I just love the political stuff, too. And I really appreciate that you were willing to do the give and take on it. I don't think it proves anything. We're going to prove things in a lot of different ways. But you and I aren't going to solve all these,
unfortunately, these problems. Unfortunately, it's not going to be left up to me and you.
But it is the cool thing about America that we have these conversations, and the only bad thing is that people have these negative feelings about each other that have developed about all of this, when, you know, we can have a different point of view on this without having these negative,
being hateful.
Yeah, that's just,
well, when you talk it out and you try and at least to understand the other person's point of view, you learn something.
Yeah.
You really do.
Are you a Back to the Future fan?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then I won't tell you the Back to the Future joke. But okay. But what I will do is tell you that if you're thinking about eating anything later tonight or this weekend or whenever, if you have your husband get with you, the two of you, take a trip down Chesterfield Airport Road here in the Valley, to 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road, you will find a restaurant that you may have already gone to, for all I know, Wendy's. Have you been?
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes,
so you know.
I've been to Wendy's.
Great place, right?
Yes.
Now, what's your favorite? Great. What's your favorite?
You know, they actually have great salads.
Okay.
And that's what I get every time. I'm not a chicken wing or a pizza person. My kids will order those. But
yeah, Faust likes those wings.
Mm-hmm. My kids do, too.
Yeah.
Love them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they've got all kinds of great things, of course, and they've got pizza, and I like baby back ribs.
Oh, you do? My dad, he's a baby back rib guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he loves those. Yeah. I'll have to tell him. Are they good there?
Oh, terrific.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll have to let him know.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road in Chesterfield Valley. It's just a great place to go. Have you met Ben?
No, you know, I haven't.
Okay. Well, you need to.
I know. Yeah, I know. Right. I haven't been in there in quite some time.
Okay.
We don't have as many games down here in Chesterfield, down in the Valley, as we used to. So that would be our stopping place on the way home.
Okay.
But my kids are playing more high school and older kids sports now. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's Wendy's, and that is in Chesterfield Valley. And, you know, I don't know how much of a jewelry person you are. How about that?
I love jewelry.
Love jewelry.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the place that I do a lot of business with, it's just great, is on Hampton, 4506 Hampton, and it's called Jewels on Hampton.
Oh, that's clever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And again, a lot like the Wendy's situation, the owner is there.
Oh, that's nice. And so it's personal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
His name is Al, and his son AJ is there, and they do everything with jewelry. And, you know, I'm sitting here wearing a watch that's 45 years old. It's a gold Seiko watch. That
did you get it there?
No.
Oh,
no.
I was gonna say.
But he repairs everything.
Oh, and that's good.
And if you've got a 45 year old watch, it's going to need to get repaired
for sure.
Yeah, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton.
Love it.
They are great. And again, Al is the guy there. And finally, the St. Louis Suit Company is in Clayton. Have you ever been there?
No, okay. I have not.
So I can only tell you that I wear suits and ties all the time. Mm. And this goes all the way back to when I was in high school. And my friends and I, who were extremely radical leftists at the time, whenever we were out creating trouble, which we considered to be good trouble, we always dressed up with, you know, shirt and tie and try to look nice so that when we got pulled in by the people at our school to yell at us for what we were doing, that we could say, you know, we're just clean cut, nice kids. What do you, you know?
Right.
So, you know, that's here. This is me today.
Rebel rousers in the nice, clean suit.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the St. Louis Suit Company can help you to do this, to accomplish this transformation.
Kind of sounds like a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Absolutely.
Type thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Very much so. They're on the corner of Central and Forsyth. They've got lots of great suits and ties. And I can tell you this, and you can't beat this. Here's a nice tie. Look nice enough?
Yeah.
Just a nice tie.
You look real sharp over there, you know, especially you threw those chucks on with it.
I love it.
Yeah,
oh, I love the chucks.
Yes.
They don't have chucks, unfortunately.
You're super hip.
No chucks at St. Louis Suit Company. But everything else, these ties are $5.
Really?
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's unbelievable.
Silk ties. Yeah, but they've been selling silk ties for $5 forever. And I guess, you know, a lot of people go in to get the silk ties and then buy the things. But it is an inexpensive place, but
Well, I like that because my kids have to wear ties usually once a week to school.
Okay.
So I'm going to remember that. And they love picking out new ties.
Yeah. And at this place, you can ask for either Jay or Nick. Jay's the dad.
Oh, okay.
Nick's the son. And the whole family works there.
How long has that business been around?
29 years.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. They're really nice. Corner of Central and Forsyth in Clayton.
Okay.
St. Louis Suit Company.
Awesome.
Okay, so first I'm just going to ask you.
Yes.
What is this trafficking business and why haven't we gotten this under control in 2024? What's going on?
Well, it's hard to track down something and to cut something off that's bringing in about $150 to $160 billion a year annually profit. And that's not everything that's been recorded. I mean, we don't know. There's so much that goes under, you know, that happens under the table, if you will. So there's many trafficked people, many traffickers, and a lot of money that we just don't even know about. It's second to the drug trade. It's really bad, you know, South America, Philippines, Mexico. That's where a lot of it happens. The sad thing is that the consumers of this and the consumers of, let's say, child sex abuse material. Well, let's use sex trafficking for a minute. And labor trafficking is also human trafficking, but that's just a different category. Americans are the highest number of consumers of watching these people and children that are being trafficked and exploited. Just billions of dollars from our lovely Americans that are buying it, selling it, creating it. So it's really hard. And again, there's a lot of government entities that are trying to go after the source, and the source is money. So if there's no money, it'll slow down. It'll never go away. Just like pedophilia will never go away. It's there, and all we can do is protect who we know, our children, ourselves, and educate the community about what to look for and how to not get yourself into that situation.
Well, I can tell you, as a high school teacher, I was at school 8-10 years ago, and there was a guy at school, a coach, very popular coach, nice guy. Very smart, nice guy. Everybody liked him. I liked him. Everybody did. But one day, we came to school and found in the newspaper, in the Post-Dispatch, that he had been trafficking young kids at the school, at the high school.
Yes.
And he went to jail. Well, of course he should, but
it's horrific.
Why are people able to do this? I understand why people might do it if they thought they could get away with something and make money, but why do they get away with it?
Because there are so many vulnerable people. There really are. And currently our society and what we're encouraging young people to do and to be right now is not building them up. It's not making them stronger people. It's allowing their already some weaknesses, some loopholes, if you will, that they're experiencing. And you're allowing those to grow instead of trying to fill in the loopholes and make them stronger, more confident people. And there's people like that all over the world. So as long as there's someone that's creeping around the corner looking for a vulnerable person, it's going to continue to happen. And there's so many ways. So a lot of the girls that I work with have no clue that they were even trafficked until after they've gotten out of the trafficking. That way of life becomes their normal, and they don't know any different until someone, luckily, they get to them and they say, this is not right. This is not the way to live, or until they end up in jail.
So tell me, how are you, because I know you are, mm-hmm. how are you pushing back against this and making a difference?
So currently what I am doing is I'm on both sides of it. So I'm on the education side of it, but I get to hang out with some of the most beautiful, lovely young girls, usually between 12 and 18. And I get to really just hang with them and love on them and show them that they're worthy and try to get them on a road of rehabilitation. There's so much trauma. It can go anywhere from mental abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, obviously verbal and drug abuse. And so there are so many parts to them in their recovery. And so it's important to get them out of that life, to keep them away from that life, and to show them how to heal and restore their childhood. So when I leave there and I learn so much from them and how it happens and who does it to these people. And so then I have the opportunity with Gateway Alliance also. So I volunteer at the covering house with the girls, and those are the girls that have been received there from sex trafficking. But then Gateway Alliance, I am able to go out into the community and educate people on what human trafficking is and what to look for. And, you know, right now, today I was at a local school, sharing with them how it can happen to you, whether it's, you know, to be forced or seduction, or you think that, you know, this guy is really into me and he wants to buy me that iPhone that my parents wouldn't buy. There's just so many ways that you get sucked into it.
Now, I know that when our kids were little, we used to tell them that if somebody comes to tell you that they want you to pet their dog, mm-hmm. run.
Right.
You know, and, you know, they're grown up now. And, you know, we always laugh about how we had told them that. And, you know, unfortunately, that's the world that we live in. You can't trust just everybody, because people will do mm-hmm. bad things. But you said something else a moment ago. And I really, you know, this is what really gets me. And I've always talked about this. And that is the abuse mm-hmm. by men against women mm-hmm. in our country. Mm-hmm. And it is an epidemic.
It is.
It's out of control.
It is.
It's been out of control since I was a kid, and it's out of control today. Mm-hmm. This belief that men can beat up women mm-hmm. at will and force their way, and it doesn't have to be sexual. It could be all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But this is such a problem.
Yeah.
In addition to just the trafficking part, but I think they're related, don't you?
Well, facts show that definitely there are more male traffickers. However, there are so many female traffickers as well. I mean, it's awful. Just in the last 2 weeks, I was sent five different articles of five different women that were abusing children in this way. So for money or for profit. So, and for some reason, because we are so used to hearing that it's men, when I hear and see the woman and I see who they are and maybe they have children of their own or they have a husband or whatever it is, it just punches me in the gut. I just, because as a mom, I just can't imagine someone doing that to my child or to my mother or to, you know, just to anyone. I just, it's really hard, but there are so many women that abuse too. And I don't think it has anything to do with men just being men who they are. I think that it's just how they have chosen to maybe take what they went through when they were young and, you know, you do the same things
replicate
if they're older.
It. Right. Replicate.
Yeah. And that's also, you know, a horrible thing to try to pinpoint too, because it is, it's a vicious cycle that continues until someone breaks that cycle, whether it's in that family or however it's going to be stopped. But abuse is so rampant, and I hate to say it, but it's everywhere.
Do you work with the authorities?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So today I spent.
So they welcome you in doing this.
Most definitely.
Okay. Good.
Most definitely. And there's several just people here in St. Louis, whether in law enforcement, that are so passionate about finding these traffickers. So it's wonderful to see. But again, there's way more going on than anyone can handle. So it's a real celebration when they find someone that's doing these things. And we've had some pretty big cases here just in the last 8-9 months of trafficking that's happened here.
So when you have a big case, mm-hmm. and you've really accomplished a lot, mm-hmm. Do you walk away and feel like, gee, I did a great job and there's still so much more? It's like the ocean is so big.
So the thing that makes me feel good, I don't necessarily feel like when I see someone go down for doing this, because it's a needle in a haystack, if you will. But what makes me feel so good is seeing people that have been safely rescued from that life. Now, whether they go back to that life or not, I don't know. The real success stories are the ones that don't go back. I love hearing a survivor's story and knowing that they are on the road to healing. But again, you know, it just makes you feel good knowing that, you know, especially a young person was taken from that environment and into safe hands.
Do you remember the TV show that was basically a sting where people would be lured through the internet to come to somebody's house thinking that they were going to do bad things with kids, mm-hmm. and they would catch them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the show?
Oh, yes.
What was the name?
Oh, that was that guy. He had that voice.
That guy.
I loved his voice.
Yeah, that guy.
Joe, do you know what that was?
I don't remember his name.
Chris Hansen.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
That's it.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
So, and by the way, I just knocked the screen off of here, Joe. So, you know, maybe did it affect it? Okay. Yeah. Anyway, I guess.
Yes. And I have several friends and they're females that are involved in sting operations like that. And I love to hear about them. I love to hear how they will, you know, get someone that's wanting to exploit someone and set them up and get them before they can get to them. There's nothing better than that.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, I thought that was incredibly effective.
Me too.
You know,
I really do.
Those people just, you know, one by one, they kept showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but mm-hmm. but also so amazing at how many of those people certainly were not part of the money issue here. These were just people who were somehow attracted to this mess,
mm-hmm.
which is, I guess, the problem.
Well, and it is. And as I said a few minutes ago, there right now in our current culture, we're trying to empower people that might be, that might have some self-esteem issues, okay? And the way that they are expressing their issues is being celebrated, and it's being almost just made to be bigger and better than it is, instead of working back and saying, okay, well, why, how did we get here? Why are these, you know, kids having these issues? And then it goes the same thing for these people. Let's use children, for instance. So when I think of someone that wants to harm kids in any way, I don't have a good thought. I don't have a ton of empathy. I tend to not think about their past. All I can think about is the child that's in front of them. And so to me, they're criminals, and they have no place in society, because there's children everywhere. There's people, vulnerable people everywhere. No, there's question. No place.
Yep.
And they will tell you it is a sickness. It's not going to stop unless you tie their hands behind their back and blindfold them and put them in a room shackled. It's not going to stop. But instead, our culture has now given them a name. And so we are now calling them minor attracted persons, because they're people, and we need to not hurt their feelings. And so we're going to give them a name, and we're just going to say, just because they're attracted to children, that's just how they identify. That's for a whole nother show.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
But what I'm saying is that our culture right now is so backwards. And instead of trying to, instead of everybody just accepting everybody, everybody's just coming around and saying, I'm this and I'm that and I'm this and I'm that. Okay, hold up a minute. So the responsible thing to do, and the responsible response would be not, okay, you're right. Okay, no. Hey, no. You are better than that. You are better than that. Why are you wanting to do this? People don't want to take the time to have these conversations with these people, and especially the young kids. I mean, it's crazy. I have absolutely no tolerance for any of it. I just don't.
We can't.
We can't.
But what we're going to do, I hope, is talk about this again the next time.
Yes.
And this is Showdown, and Megan Moret.
Yes.
Thank you very much for,
thanks for
being here
me.
The first time on Showdown,
yeah,
and putting up with my silliness the first half hour. And we will hopefully do this again.
Yes, definitely.
And I know we're also talking about having you come by and talk to some of our kids.
I would love
at
that.
At the high school.
Yes, absolutely. I would love
great.
That. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. Good night.